You're listening to Catch the Current, the coolest seafood podcast out there from the team at Undercurrent News, your trusted source for industry news, data, and prices. I'm Amanda Buckle.
And I'm Lauren Castiglione. We've been so focused on Trump and his tariffs that we blinked, and now Seafood Expo Global is upon us.
The show, held in Barcelona, Spain, is just days away, and the Undercurrent News team will be there reporting live from the biggest seafood show in Europe.
The FOMO is real, Amanda. I won't be with you this time.
For a brief moment, I thought you were so upset about not going that you hacked the country's power grid to shut off power to the Gran Via. Like, I thought you were that upset about not going.
I was that upset. I don't have those capabilities.
So while Lauren won't be at the show this year, we do have a big team taking on Seafood Expo Global, and we've got some of them to join us on the podcast today to pregame with us, like editorial director Cliff White.
Cliff is our Seafood Expo Global expert, thanks to his past life. I know COVID makes the math hard, but how many years have you been covering this event as a journalist, Cliff?
This one will be my ninth in a row, if you don't count the years it was canceled for COVID. So yeah, go back to the Brussels days, and the past few years, they moved it to Barcelona, and they being Diversified Communications, which is my previous employer.
Let's talk about the big difference here between Boston and Barcelona. It's the show size.
It's huge. I think it's over 44,000 square meters, and that's a lot of square feet. But since we're in Spain, in Europe, we'll go with the metric system. Yeah, it's massive. You got to plan time between interviews because it takes so long to get from one end of that show to the other. Definitely makes sense to download the app and use it as a map guide to get from place to place. And yeah, it's really a global tour of the seafood industry. There's every product, every country that trades in seafood is there.
Comparing Boston to Barcelona, I mean, yeah, it's definitely the more global aspect of it. I mean, do you know, you probably don't know off the top of your head, how many countries probably go to Boston compared to Barcelona?
It depends on how you count them, whether, you know, you're talking about registrants or exhibitors. I think exhibitors, well over 150 countries are represented. I would say definitely over 120. When you talk about attendees, I mean, you're talking about pretty much every country on earth is there. It's like the United Nations of seafood, which is a really fun vibe to get into, and why it's one of my favorite events of the year.
So what is your favorite part of the show, Cliff?
Again, just seeing the diversity of this industry. You could be walking down one of the exhibit halls and go past, you know, Moroccan octopus and Turkish sea bream and Chilean salmon and Icelandic cod. I never attended a World's Fair, but it feels like that.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, I could see that. I could very much see that. Yeah. Any last teasers? Are you planning on attending any programming while at the event, or can you tease any interviews that you've got lined up and coverage that our listeners should be looking forward to?
Yeah. There's always a ton of great events, both at the show and around it. And I'll be making the rounds as usual. If anyone is looking to get in touch, then please do. You can find all our contact info at undercurrentnews.com. We've got a huge team of reporters going, as we always do at Undercurrent, and trying to cover every facet and angle of this massive show. But if you've got any tips, we're always looking for them. So please bring them our way and we'll try and make it.
Also joining us on the pod today is Undercurrent co-founder and editor-in-chief, Tom Seaman. Tom, I can only imagine that your calendar for those few days at Seafood Expo Global must be jam-packed.
It's going to be a busy week, yeah. Getting in Sunday and then pretty much solid meeting through until Thursday when we fly back. Although I'm sure that will get thrown out by the usual show madness when meetings get cancelled, people can't see you, then you bump into someone. You know, that's actually the kind of the great thing about these events, and it is easy to sometimes overplan, and then you miss out on the opportunity of just opportunistically seeing a source or seeing something interesting to go and cover. So trying to kind of balance that out. And it's also obviously going to be great to meet, you know, work with members of the team who we don't see all the time, like, you know, all of you. And then Massa's coming in from Japan, you know, Barb's coming in from Canada to join the team from the UK and Europe. So yeah, it's going to be a great week, a very tiring week, but yeah, looking forward to it.
Oh, 100%. You know, this show couldn't come at a more interesting time. Would you say it's safe to say that the tariffs and the U.S. trade war will dominate conversations on the show floor?
Yeah, I think absolutely. It's usually a show that's sometimes more difficult to cover than Boston, because Boston's got a very cohesive theme, or the big show in China and Qingdao as well, where it's kind of Boston and the Qingdao show, the large driver of it is people looking to sell to those markets. Or with China, it's got the element of the export element too, but much more so about selling to the market in recent years. Whereas the Seafood Expo Global is, like Cliff said, so global, so diverse. It's kind of overwhelming as a reporter sometimes, and you have to really drill down on your topic areas and focus on them. But I think this year it does have this kind of unifying theme, which will be the tariffs, with everyone basically trying to make sense of how this is going to impact their businesses. These events are great for because people get together and kind of exchange thoughts and ideas. And it's going to be, I think, a lot of Asian suppliers, particularly Chinese, who are obviously subject to such enormous tariffs on sale to the US that effectively trade has stopped, going to be looking to pivot, sell more to Europe. The shrimp companies in India, Indonesia, Vietnam, Thailand, that face very high tariffs if these do indeed go through, will also be doing the same. And so it's going to be quite a scramble, I think, in terms of companies looking to move away, get new business really outside of the US, because some of these tariff levels is obviously going to be reduced demand. And I think also the US, what will happen, I think there'll be a lot of inventory buildup in the US because of this. The demand will drop off for, say, shrimp into the US because the inventories are going to have been built up so much by people rushing to import. So there's going to be a hell of a lot of interesting things going on. And it's going to be fascinating to cover.
I mean, you'll be reporting through our blog, and we'll also be having original content being uploaded throughout the day because, in addition to our entire team storming the show floor, we also still have reporters that are, behind a desk and making sure that all this content is getting out to our subscribers. Tom, any final thoughts heading into the show?
I think a sector that will be interesting to cover is one that isn't really impacted by tariffs, which is pollock. It's kind of a stable species in the market. It's one that I cover a lot, and it's kind of one of the only ones I'd say that isn't heavily impacted by the tariffs, because the trade impact happened on pollock earlier with the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the kind of fallout from that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to having maybe a little bit of non-tariff chat with people in that sector, because I think, yeah, other than that, it's going to be straight up Trump tariff talk from everyone. So yeah.
Yeah, it's actually interesting you say that because I was just speaking with Craig Morris, the CEO at the Association of Genuine Alaska Pollock Producers. They just received a funding grant from the USDA to support critical emerging markets. And so in Brazil, Colombia, and India that they're focused. So that's interesting that you brought that up because they're looking definitely there to see how they can build up those markets. And one of the things they noted is that they're going to have research to address like a gap in knowledge and to develop resources to support sales in those markets. So yeah, I agree with you. Definitely interesting to see.
Now, let's hear from Louis Harkel, Undercurrent's Global Head of Price Reporting and Data Journalism. Louis, what's going on in your markets as we head into Seafood Global next week?
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me on. So for me, covering the Chinese market quite a bit, I'll be focusing primarily on how Chinese seafood exporters are coping with US tariffs, as Tom touched on earlier.
So basically, mental health checks for everyone over there, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Expect to see lots of very worried-looking Chinese seafood exporters at SCG. So yeah, that's expected to be a key development and news focus for me. I mean, unless there's a very quick rollback of tariffs at 170% for some products, that's basically an
Don't
embargo
even
on
suggest
imports.
something like that might even come up because you never know. And we can't handle reporting on that right now as we're heading into Barcelona. So don't even joke about
Fingers crossed. But yeah, I mean, like a seafood processor, well, actually they do squid in the country, recently told us that there's been a complete halt to trade with the US, so no orders, no shipments, nothing. And this is a big deal for China, because you have to remember that large parts of the kind of industry there is completely export dependent. The vast reprocessing sector, which is based largely in the north but really stretches all along the coast, was built off the back of global trade and China's a membership of WTO back in 2000. And the idea being you hire a bunch of low-paid Chinese workers, you stick them in the warehouse cutting fish, often fish that is imported from abroad, including the US, particularly the Alaska region. Then you ship that back to rich world markets like the US, and the fundamentals of that trade really hasn't changed much until now. So yeah, you've got a lot of seafood products to sell to keep those factories running, and the question is how they're going to fill that gap, how are they going to make up those lost sales, are they going to drop prices to shift products that they originally produced for the US but now didn't manage to ship before the tariffs took effect? perhaps Europeans at the show can pick up some bargains. Who knows? So yeah, I mean, for me, that's going to be a big focus of the show. And yeah, so I expect the Chinese turnout to be good for those reasons. The European economy has been a little weak for a long time, but with, yeah, what's going on in the US, I think the Chinese will be looking at the comparative stability in Europe with a degree of relief. On the other side of what I'll be doing, I'll be looking a lot on the price reporting and how we can develop some new price assessments. Specifically. So the idea is I'm going to try and speak with some companies about potential new assessments we can create. You know, we already report prices for a lot of the big seafood commodities like Russian HNG cod, Thai tuna, US wholesale shrimp. These are prices that our reporters get from speaking with or contacting sources, often on a weekly basis. Now we want to test ideas for new assessments, basically. So this means asking companies if they can provide us with some pricing info, whether having price assessments for other products would be useful for them, that sort of thing. So this is like, you know, initial market research, you could say. So we have some ideas for newer price assessments, say like the big trade flows, commodity groups, but sometimes our ideas don't match with the reality of the problem people are facing. You know, that could be the availability of transparent pricing data for some species and products. Getting that data is perhaps not difficult for them, or the market is too small to warrant us collecting the price data in the first place, or there's not a clear benchmark product in a particular category, say squid, that, you know, is clearly identifiable as a benchmark people refer to when they're, you know, setting these prices. So yeah, these are the sort of things I'll be looking at Barcelona.
Well, let's try to make your life a little bit easier right now. Why don't you plug your email address so that way if anyone listening out there is interested in contacting you, they could do so before the show and hopefully, you know, connect while you're there.
Yeah, great. People can reach me at LH, there's my initials, LH at undercurrentnews.com.
I would say it's also important to note that as trade flows are shifting, the price assessments that Undercurrent News puts out, they're not determined by us. It is based off of industry need and we are led by the feedback that we get. So, you know, if there's anything that anybody wants to see that we're not covering yet, please let us know because that's how we prioritize our coverage.
Finally, joining us on the pod today is UCN reporter Barb Dean Simmons, our go-to source for everything that's going on with the Canadian fisheries. Barb, when we had you on the pod ahead of Seafood Expo North America in March, there was a lot of chaos regarding snow crab. We still didn't have an opening for the Newfoundland and Labrador fishery at that time, and harvesters and processors were still trying to come to an agreement before heading to the price-setting panel. I remember even telling us about people pulling out of attending to sort with a mess. So, Barb, is the Canadian snow crab industry at least in a better space heading into Seafood Expo Global?
Yes, from the last time we talked, I think things are running basically according to plan. There's crab coming out of the water in Newfoundland now. People are really busy with that. Gulf crab fishery will soon be finished, and it looks like prices are holding on the wholesale end of things. Tariffs, of course, weren't such a big issue for the snow crab industry after all, and that crab is most of it is will end up in the US market. So I think things have settled out with crab. However, you know, the big thing now is we've got a major spring lobster fisheries coming on stream in Canada, and that's a whole other ball of wax because that industry is being impacted by, well, first of all, China tariffs on Canadian seafood exports. And then in the mix, there's the impact of the US-China trade war, which means probably not as much lobster from the US finding a home in China, which means all that lobster has to find a home somewhere. And so I hope to be able to talk to folks at the show about what they're doing to try to, you know, get into those markets, maybe find new markets. And so if you want to talk about lobster there, I'd love to have a chat with all those lobster exporters. And I hope to swing by, even though, you know, I'll be focused on the Canadian companies at the show, I also plan to swing by the American pavilions and talk to people about hopefully the lobster industry there.
And now, this event is also at an interesting time for Canada in that a new Prime Minister, Mark Carney, was elected this week. Barb, what's the industry's overall feelings on Carney's election?
I think everybody is glad the election is over, and folks in the industry say, okay, now we need to really get down to business and start the conversations with our trading counterparts on, you know, on trade, on tariffs, maybe getting China to pull back a little bit on that 25% tariff and having a chat with President Trump to find a way forward to, work together on trade and also to look to European partners and maybe new customers in that market space. So for sure, I'm certain that Canadian companies at Barcelona will be talking to lots of people to find new markets and to get their products into to new customers. But yes, certainly everybody is glad to see that we were kind of in limbo with that election and, necessary process, but people are anxious to get down to business and back to business. Final thoughts. Last year was my first year at the show. It's a little bit overwhelming, first time in. Massive show, but exciting at the same time. And now that I know what it's all about from last year, I'm ready to get going and meet as many people as I can and talk to as many people as I can. So, for folks in the seafood industry from Canada or the US, look me up on LinkedIn, shoot me a message. I've got some interviews lined up. I'm hoping to talk to some folks in British Columbia actually about farmed cod, which is a new one for me.
Well, that does it for us. Check Undercurrent News next week for the Seafood Expo Global live blog and can't miss coverage from the event. I've got to figure out a way to sneak into your luggage, but before we go, quick reminder to check out the evolution of our land-based aquaculture report, which now comes with weekly digital project updates, a monthly monitor newsletter, and a deep dive annual edition complete with forecasts, project pipelines, and strategic analysis. Undercurrent News is the seafood industry's most trusted intelligence source. If you want to see for yourself, we've got a link in the show notes for a no-commitment free trial.